As I'm speaking.
Okay, we are now recording.
Time is now 6:30. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
Sure. David Hallman?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Aye.
Boy Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemuro?
Aye.
Gabe Newto?
Aye.
David Arrington? Not here. Did he call or anything? Anita Johnson?
Here.
Jacob Ganther?
Here.
Stephanie Kurubilla?
Excused.
First on the agenda is citizen comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? All right. Seeing none, citizen comments is closed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of 8/7/12?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Newto, second by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Agenda item 4, approval of the county executive appointment of Supervisor Ed Kubicki to the Kenosha County Human Services Board.
Briefly, Supervisor Kubicki, who's standing seated to my right here, has been a member of the Human Services Board, attended 19 out of 27 meetings. The 8 that he missed were excused absences. I would venture to say mostly related to work, probably, and the schedule is occasionally a conflict there. He's been an active member of our board, and I would ask that this committee approve the resolution to continue his appointment on the Human Services Board through December 2013.
Approved. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Montemuro, second by Supervisor Frederick. Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you, Supervisor.
Hey. I can go to Kaiser's.
Agenda item 5, the Department of Health. The approval of the resolution to modify the 2012 budget for the Healthy People of Kenosha County Transform Wisconsin Grant Program. Good evening, Ms. Johnson.
Good evening. I want to thank Supervisor Decker for requesting information that we sent out, that everyone received that, and also put together a summary that's been handed out to everybody. Wonderful, thank you. And so, just to summarize the documents that you received, the Health Department is requesting to modify the 2012 budget in regards to receiving the Healthy People County grant, the Transformation Wisconsin grant. And this grant is a $460,000 grant. That'll be, the resources are for a 26-month grant period. And they're received from the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, Wisconsin Clearinghouse for Prevention Resources. The Health Department will be funding a 0.5 FTE for this position. The summary that you received, you'll see that the goals of this is a Wisconsin Transformation Grant are to reduce the prevalence of cancer, heart disease, and chronic disease. And it's also specifically over the next 5 years to reduce tobacco use, obesity, heart disease, and stroke by 5%. And you'll see the evaluation component with this grant. We are very fortunate to have received this. We're one of 6 communities that received a full transformation grant. And that's the $460,000 to address all 3 objectives, which are listed on your summary. The budget impact is $34,500 levy savings for administrative oversight, and there's no additional administrative personnel that's requested. The grant has 3 objectives. One is tobacco-free multi-unit housing, and we'll be educating multi-unit housing owners, and also we'll be working with the Kenosha Landlord Association and the owners of multi-unit structures, including those that are under Section 8. We are partnering with the Tobacco-Free Project, And currently, we do have a multi-jurisdiction collaborative and a tobacco-free coalition. And over the 26 months of the grant, they will be receiving $33,445 of this grant. The reason that we approached using this particular grant for Kenosha County was related to our 2011 community health survey, which the results were released this past spring. And as you'll see, that 85% of the respondents reported having asthma, and 21% of the non-smoking respondents reported being exposed to secondhand smoke. I just received also some information today in regards to additional data that there's been an increase of number of homes that wish to be smoke-free. Smoke-free homes went from 13%, or the exposed to smoke-free homes increased or reduced from 13 to 7%. So they're wishing to be smoke-free is what the data was showing. And also the no smoking policy at home. Many homes are imposing a smoke-free policy, and that increased from 74% to 80%. The second objective is active communities, and we are partnering to provide safe locations for families to get involved in activities. We are working on a formal joint use agreement with the Kenosha YMCA and with Frank Elementary School. And in addition, let's see, those two partnerships over the 26-month period will receive $46,200. Currently, they have an informal joint use agreement to utilize Frank School to open the doors for activities for families. But this will be developing a formal joint use agreement, which will be approved through legal advice. It'll also be a pilot for more schools to open up their doors for families in the evening so that families have a safe place to provide activities for their children. And as you can see from the survey, only 48% of the respondents meet the recommended amount of moderate or vigorous physical activity. Children, you can see, they're only taking a look at five or more days of 60 minutes per day of physical activity, and only 64% of the respondents reported that their children in their household meet that. And of course, 69% were classified as overweight, and that's an increase from 2003. Our third objective is healthy food system, and that is expanding school gardens. You may have seen some articles in the paper with school gardens that are currently in use in the Kenosha Unified School District. This is also institutionalizing the farm-to-school program. Excuse me. The produce will be used in the schools for snacks and lunches, and also available to local farmers markets for purchase. They just received their permit to do that. And also working with Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency, the WIC program just had an open house not too long ago that their second floor was remodeled. Some of you were there and have seen that they have a demonstration kitchen available, so we'll be able to bring the students to the school and they will learn to be able to prepare the produce that they have grown. So you can see the partnerships that are involved over the next 26 months, and the dollar amount is in excess of $41,000 for this collaboration. And also I included, again, from the Community Health Survey, the data to support why we're trying to increase the nutrition servings per day of fruits and vegetables. As you can see, the adults in the household don't necessarily reach the same level as their children, and we hope there'll be some generational follow-through here too. And also 19% of the respondents reported fair or poor health, and that was an increase from 2003. The evaluation component is both qualitative and quantitative, and an additional partnership is with SHOW, which is Survey of Wisconsin Health. You may have seen over the years that we've advertised that SHOW has been in our county. This is a group of people that canvass an area, a very specific location, and they go door to door requesting that the household members will participate in a physical assessment. They have a questionnaire, and they also take blood pressure, blood, urine specimens. This is to provide very specific data for Wisconsin to relate to quantitatively where we are in regards to our health in Kenosha and in the state of Wisconsin. And so this will be an oversampling. We are providing $90,000 over the next 26 months to have more individuals that will be in this particular program so that we will again be able to show over the next 5 years that there is this goal of a reduction in tobacco use, obesity, and heart disease and stroke by 5%. So we hope to reach that goal. Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal.
It is.
Questions?
Supervisor Becker?
Yeah, I was reading through the RFP, mm-hmm. and several things popped out at me. What is tax equity for, it's stated in here, tax equity for, sorry, it states in here tax equity about cigarettes. Off the top of my head.
You can do a search.
You're referring to page two?
Two, sorry, I didn't highlight it. I was reading through it last night.
Under what will this grant help your community achieve? Line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Yes. Okay. The sentence says, funding will also focus tobacco-free efforts toward advocacy of voluntary smoke-free multi-unit housing and education on the dangers of OTPs, which is other tobacco products, and need for tax equity.
That's just advocating for tax equity, which we currently don't have. That would be through our city tax dollars, which we do not have any type of permit or that there would be any imposition of a tax on landlords in order to be smoke-free or to have to allow smoke in their housing units. Some cities, counties, do have that. That's they're able to impose a tax.
A tax because people allow smoking in their homes?
Through the landlords.
The landlords.
And it's advocating to remain to be smoke-free. And, of course, as a coalition statewide, that's part of their advocacy. There is no indication that in Kenosha that there's been any movement in that direction.
Okay. That's kind of shocking that they would advocate to tax people based on their smoking.
Taxes go to support prevention also. Those individuals with taxes on cigarette packages then sometimes are diverted for prevention mechanisms.
How much has the state spent on tobacco-free Wisconsin, and how has that affected our percentage of how many people do smoke?
I'm not quite sure. I don't have the Wisconsin data that I think you're asking for. I don't have that available, those numbers.
How about, do you know Kenosha County?
Kenosha, I know from the 2011 Community Health Survey that we've seen an improvement. We have seen that providers, medical providers in town, it is justified that the providers in town are discussing this with their clients, and we've seen an increased number of providers. It has jumped nearly to 90% of the providers are encouraging their clients to quit smoking. We have seen that more people, the data has shown that more people are trying to quit. They may not be successful, but they're at least making attempts. And so the data is very reflective that individuals are trying to reach to be tobacco-free, but aren't always successful. And there's programs that are in place. First Breath is one of them for pregnant women, and we have that at the health department to encourage women to be smoke-free during their pregnancy.
Okay. So we Do we have numbers what our smoking rate used to be as of like 10 years ago versus what they are now?
I can pull that data for you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then...
Real quick, there is actually an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel either yesterday or today speaking about with the smoking rates and how the fact of since Wisconsin went smoke-free, how much healthier and how much better people are right now and how much asthma has gone down. We can go find that probably out of the newspaper. So that was just released in the last couple of days.
Thank you.
Okay. And then also stated on page, I'm sorry, I don't have page numbers on printout. Under activity, it says present educational materials to Common Council showing how marketing strategies aim at 18 to 24 populations and how increasing taxes on these products can help decrease use. So the Tobacco Free Coalition is going to advocate for tax increases.
They target the population that they're trying to make. They're trying to have that generation of population be healthier as they age. Currently, right now, most of the smokers are of an older population. Mm-hmm. The data has reflected, we actually have seen an increase of number of younger students that are not smoking, which is wonderful that a new generation is coming forward. We now have that pocket of younger people that seem to be using tobacco products, whether they're smoking or whether they're other tobacco products.
So like my generation isn't smoking, but the younger are? You're saying like 18 to 24-year-olds are smoking more?
They're trying to capture the people in that age group that are smoking and trying to have them stop smoking. And one mechanism that has shown evidence-based is tax dollars and the price for the packages of a package of cigarette is very costly and they can't afford it. And so it is one mechanism to bring down the rate of smoking.
Okay. Let me see what else other questions I had. Now, we already have smoke-free initiatives in the county, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that's my question. One of my questions is because it seems like a lot of these initiatives in this grant, we already do.
No, the one that we're reaching out to is multi-unit housing. That's the area, and it's education piece and educating landlords to move into smoke-free, to have smoke-free units available for their renters.
Okay,
that's not something that's been, that's available at this point.
Okay. And then the community gardens. Mm-hmm. We have community gardens now?
Some, yes.
Some?
We're going to expand that.
And the community gardens, have they been paid for by tax dollars we have now?
There is a grant through Harborside that we collaborated with in order for them to initiate school gardens. Not sure where all the funding has come from for the Kenosha Unified School and some of the districts, the other schools, but I know about a particular grant that we did have and we collaborated, the initial school garden. The superintendent, I know, is very proactive in regard, and she is looking forward to having gardens available at all of the schools. I had a discussion with her when she came on board to our community. And also, she would actually like to see that they use fresh fruits and vegetables and make their food right at the schools like they used to.
Okay. Let me see if there's anything. We have community gardens. I don't understand why we have to use tax dollars to build them. Silver Lake has a community garden. Volunteers did it. Why do we need to use tax dollars to do it?
Because we have students that are right there at school with their projects and their curriculum. They can be all-encompassing with their curriculum. They can have the gardens right on the location, be working in the gardens, realize how to even start a garden so that after, you know, successive generations, they can go on to teach their children how to weed and select the produce and then what to do with it. There are many fruits and vegetables that some students have never even tasted. Kiwi, eggplant. I mean, there are things that they've never seen or tasted before, and this is an opportunity for them to see how they actually grow and how they can care for a garden, and it's not as difficult as maybe they might have thought. We are purchasing supplies for hoop gardens, and so these will be elevated gardens for the produce to grow, and the students will be able to work with those gardens. There are very few right now. We have just at Harborside, and there might be one other location right now, but we're going to expand up additional schools, 5 more schools.
And this couldn't be done without government money?
To purchase the supplies? No.
You don't have groups in the city that would be willing to help out with this?
Potentially, but right now, I don't know how old your children are, but as I have seen, that the list of supplies that parents are requested to bring to the schools because there isn't sufficient funding at the schools, and that's for Kleenex and paper towels and crayons and pencils and quite a list. To add this to the list might be prohibitive for parents. And so this is a means that we can improve the health of children, hopefully their parents also, as you can see, the data reflects, and improve their ability to consume fruits and vegetables, which helps reduce cancer and improves their health long term.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A lot of this stuff in here seems like things that could be done without tax dollars, and it just seems like if the community would step up and do it themselves, they would take pride in it, and that's how, you know, you build a community, is having people doing it themselves instead of expecting the government to do it for them. And this is a lot of money to push for increasing taxes on cigarettes, spending money on writing letters to the editor and press releases and things like that. It's just, when's it going to end? When we stop spending money on things that are just, it's just, that's it. Thank you.
Supervisor McMurrow.
I have 2 questions. First, doesn't Nash Elementary have a garden? Because I know they collected community dollars for it because we had donated for it. So I think that might be one of the schools that's doing that. The other thing is, the reason the physicians have increased asking questions about smoking is the computers are mandating that a patient doesn't leave the office unless that's been asked. So they've kind of just mandated it. In fact, it'll freeze your chart. So whatever is going on that way is making that happen too. So those are... The physician compliance is a no-brainer, and it's going to continue, okay, because it's already documented in our computers. And if, to her point, if Nash did set up that, I would be curious if Nash is using a lot of their produce and everything in this situation, because then I would venture to say the way they did it, the other schools could do it too. You know, with their PTO parents or blah, blah, blah. And we could have more schools doing this. You know, and I'm grateful that it's being done. That's not the point. But along the lines that she just said, too, I know Nash took money from the community. So it'd be kind of neat to find out. And it would look good in 5 years to have more schools having this done for us. So that's something to wonder about.
Anything else? Supervisor Johnson.
I just wanted to make a comment, and I have a question. But I think it's great, and I think it's more than just a garden. It's a program to teach them a healthier lifestyle, and there's just more to it than just growing it. But to speak to the point of parents stepping up and paying for it, my husband and I have always been very involved in the school system in Kenosha. And fortunately, our son went to Whittier, and the population at Whittier, I think, may not have quite as many children who are on the lower socioeconomic levels. And, you know, even so, like you said, we were constantly subsidizing classrooms with regular regular supplies, things for her to print on, printing paper, I mean, glue, I mean, everything. And they did have a garden, and it was funded by the parents, by donations, and it was worked with. But I think this is even more than that. I mean, there's more to it than that. And also in the long run, it is true that, I mean, it winds up costing us more in the long run when they're not healthy than when they are healthy. I wanted to ask, yes, one question. I noticed that you were going to target KUSD schools, and I was wondering why none of the county schools are going to be, like Bristol Elementary, or...
That was also, we were looking at that. This was a very short time frame to work on developing this grant, but partnerships out at Bristol, Paris, those big schools, you know, moving out right now, Summers, and is considered one of the county schools, and so that's our county component for us at this point.
Okay.
And so developing within Kenosha Unified School District and developing a model that then we can replicate for the route.
Okay. The rest, Frederick?
The way I look at this is, so I went to an inner city school, but we considered that now. And there, McDonald's and Burger King and all that, that was the food groups kids looked at. The fact that we can go in there and say, you know, this is a healthier, this is what vegetables are. You know, we live in a country now where ketchup is considered a vegetable. That now what we can do is take a look and say, these are your alternatives, and teach them when they're young. Because they won't get it anywhere else. And there's, with the socioeconomic factors within inner city, this is the only way they have a probability of learning what they can do and the different life choices they can make. At least that's the way I look at it. So, thanks.
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. You said they can sell at the, or they got to sell at the farmer's market now. Couldn't they take some of the money they're earning from there and put that towards the supplies also?
Can we generate? Yes,
yeah.
So it can be self-sustaining.
Okay, that was
a
good question.
I'm
glad you brought that. Thank you.
Supervisor
Nita? Okay, I want to get away from there for a second and go to the tobacco thing. Are they going to start charging more taxes for tobacco? And
When are they? I can't, I'm sorry.
You know,
when?
About tax, increasing more taxes
yes.
for cigarettes. And also charging a tax for unit owners that they allow smoking in the apartments? Would that be like penalizing? And I know smoking, well, whether it's right or wrong, it's their choice,
right.
especially in their own houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other thing is, if we're doing with tobacco, what are we doing with alcohol? I don't see anything talking about alcohol, which I think that that's more of a problem.
Right, and alcohol wasn't included as one of the areas, although that is definitely, based on the 2011 survey, alcohol and drug use and abuse was the number one identified area that the respondents thought is the number one issue that they're concerned about. So that it's a concern of this community, and of course, looking for a way to address that would be also something that potentially a future grant could work on. In regards to an excise tax for tobacco products or other tobacco products, that is something that, as mentioned, elevating the price, the cost, especially for some of the 18 to 24-year-olds, that could be prohibitive to even purchasing it. But the key component is educating the landlords in regards to the effects of smoke, secondhand smoke, the number of asthmatics and asthmatic children that are in Kenosha County, and trying to provide a better air quality in the living area, in the homes.
Since we already have some programs about tobacco, I'm going to go back to the tobacco thing there, and nothing about alcohol, could we use some of this money towards that goal, trying to keep the alcohol down or...
No, we couldn't. It was very prescriptive, and the request for proposal that you saw, it was very prescriptive of the categories that we were to address. And it was the tobacco-free multi-unit housing, active communities, and the healthy food system was very prescriptive. But thank you for bringing that up about alcohol. I'm in agreement with you of looking for means to reduce abuse of alcohol. It impacts us in many different ways with unintentional injuries, motor vehicle accidents, drownings. There's a whole host of unintentional injuries that occur.
Anything else?
No, that's fine.
Supervisor Deck?
What percentage of people don't know that smoking and secondhand smoke are bad?
It's bringing up the current data in regards to the number of people that would like to live in a smoke-free environment. They cannot purchase a home on their own, and so they are at minimum renters and large complexes. That's where they choose to live, and wanting to be in a smoke-free environment for themselves and their children.
Okay, but how many people don't know that smoking and secondhand smoke is bad for you?
There are women that still smoke during their pregnancy, and they know it's bad.
Okay, but they still know it.
They know it, but it's...
So these landlords know that smoking is bad, but that's their choice to allow people to smoke in their own apartments, in these multi-unit apartments. I don't allow people to smoke in my house. That's my house. People don't, if they have an apartment, they don't need to allow people to smoke in their apartment. I don't understand why we need to spend tax dollars on telling landlords that smoking and secondhand smoking is bad and informing people of that. It's just, to me, it's an incredible waste of tax dollars. And, you know, we're in this mindset of, well, it's not levy dollars, so let's spend it. Well, it's still tax dollars that come from somewhere. It doesn't come from the ground. It doesn't come from the money tree. It's still tax dollars. And we've spent money, and we have programs that spend money on tobacco use, on physical activities for kids, and, you know, community gardens. I just think this is a duplication of services, and it's a waste of tax dollars. And to have in here that a group is going to be advocating to increase taxes is just ridiculous. And for tax dollars to be used to do that, I don't think people would be happy to know that tax dollars were used to advocate to increase taxes. If you want to get rid of smoking, then you advocate to outlaw cigarettes. You don't advocate to increase the taxes. The problem is cigarette taxes pay for a lot of things, and the people or the governments that get the money from the cigarette taxes don't want to give that up. And that's the real problem, instead of raising taxes on cigarettes and informing people. Because I can't believe anyone doesn't know that smoking is bad for you. They've known it since I was young. Now, years ago when doctors used to smoke and everyone smoked on TV, that's a different story. But this is decades old. So I just think this whole thing is a waste of tax dollars. Even though it's not levy dollars, it's a waste of tax dollars. Thank you.
Supervisor Montemore.
And I understand those points. They're pretty good points. But I have one question. So then, if this is a grant, and in other words, you wouldn't even take this from the state, then, correct? If you were going to say that this is a waste of tax dollars, we would say we don't want this. In other words, is that it? Because you're telling me that this is a grant from the state to do this, correct? Okay. You are not telling me that this is monies that you are asking us to come up with. Correct.
Okay. Just if I can make a quick comment too, just feeding off that, we don't chase dollars. I mean, we have a tight budget. We know that in order to increase and enhance services, we have to look at grants as options, but we don't go after a grant just because there's money in that grant. We look at what are our community needs. And as Cindy has pointed out tonight, we rate poorly in our health care needs. We're out of 72 counties, what are we, 64? Terrible. And these are all areas that have to be addressed. And I've never heard of approaching landlords in this multi-unit non-smoking thing until I read the grant. I thought, well, there's another unique approach that perhaps might be worth an effort. Do I know that everybody believes that secondhand smoke is harmful? No, I don't know that. I believe there's people out there that still believe puffing on a cigarette or the person next to me breathing my smoke, it isn't going to harm them. And my dad lived until he was 95. I'm going to live until I'm 105. You know, whatever the logic is. Granted, the scientific evidence shows differently, but I can't sit here tonight and say there's 100% of the people in Kenosha County that believe that to be the fact. I know we have issues with asthma. I know we have issues with smoking. I know, as Supervisor Noodle pointed out, certainly there's a whole alcohol issue that we got in this community that we attempt to address, and drugs, yes, that we've talked about in this committee. But we have to start enhancing and doing things a little bit different to see if we can start chipping away at that. There's been talks about taxes for years when it comes to alcohol and cigarettes, and Wisconsin has, if not the lowest, one of the lowest taxes on its alcohol because of the beer industry here that lobbied saying, no, keep us cheap, don't tax us. If we had a nickel for every six-pack that was sold, we'd have so many prevention dollars in this state that it would offset some of what you're talking about today. Now, granted, that's probably taxpayer paying for that beer, and we can get into that philosophical debate about what is tax dollars and what isn't. But when the federal government comes down to the state of Wisconsin and says, you guys are bad in your health care rate, the state looks at us and says, Kenosha, 64 out of 72, we can't sit here idly and not do anything. We're in the business in human services to address needs in our community. And that's what we're trying to do here. It's that simple. There's no hidden agendas. We're out there wasting dollars. We're just trying to put them in the best way possible. We've seen positive things from these community gardens. Good points made about, is there a way to get the community to rally behind that? Well, sometimes if you build it, they will come. And if they see the benefits to that, then it can expand out so that every school that had, and every school, at least I'm aware of, most in Kenosha, Frank's a little landlocked, but they all have places where there's grass that can be mowed under and a garden put in. So I think it's where we need to head, and it's a start, and I hope this committee supports it and we can get it up to the county board.
And speaking to the funding portion off of Jen's information, I mean, this is a state pass-through for federal funds. I can't sit here and tell you it's tax dollars. I can't tell you maybe it's prevention dollars. It's coming from some other area. So I can't tell you specifically that these are actual tax dollars. It's not coming. Yeah, I can't tell you it's coming from their general.
Anyone else? Supervisor Nato?
I'm sorry, like, where could that money be coming from if it's not coming from there?
Well, if there's other areas, I mean, like, we have other areas for fees and things like that. So, I mean, the federal government is no different than us. Our funding sources come from a variety of areas. So, but I can't tell you exactly that he's coming from the general fund portion of the federal government. You know, it could be coming from any type of fees or taxes or anything like that that are posed on maybe cigarettes or alcohol. That's labeled for prevention dollars.
The other question actually goes, I don't know if that even makes any sense, but since this year the grant or comes from the state or wherever it's coming from, and they told us pretty much what we're going to do with the money, it's going to be towards the tobacco and whatever else, is there any way that we can put an input, maybe not for this time, for the future, to say, well, if you're going to do something, why don't we try to do it for this program, or for the probably be better ways to use the money? Is there any way that we can do that, or we're just kind of stuck with what they tell us?
Actually, Supervisor Mueller, you can go on the website for Transform Wisconsin, and there may be a link there that you can do a comment and request that future funds be also utilized towards So they do have a copy of the website, the address, and that would be an opportunity for you to express your concern for alcohol use and abuse. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. I have a couple of things. First of all, I'll just say with regard to the tax issue, I'm amazed when we have these conversations how little we seem to know about the federal budget. in terms of where things are coming from. And I say that particularly because of the community gardens, which I'm a very big supporter of. I had a conversation with Joe Manchin about this 5 years ago and said, can we do something about this? And the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, that's very interesting. We have science programs, we have a cafeteria, but I don't know how many of our kids have actually seen something go from seed to table. And so it's sort of interesting to see this progress through two different KUSD administrations. So I'm actually proud that this is here. It scares me a little bit that the average age of a U.S. farmer is 57. It scares me a little bit coming from some of our other committees that we don't really have a conversation about the next generation of farmers, which seem to be largely Black and Latino in urban areas. So to see us taking some initiative in terms of changing that trend is really good. So I'm extraordinarily proud that this is in here. The cost amount is minimal. A lot of times we get hung up on cost and don't look at economic impact, rate of return. So one of these kids, where we're spending, you know, this incredibly small amount of money here in terms of teaching them to grow, showing them the possibilities, might be the next farmer who decides that they also want to be a chef, and they might have cattle, they might have an orchard, they might have their own restaurant. You don't quite know where this is going, so you have to look at this in terms of making a small investment, and it's extraordinarily positive. I know that we're seeing Kenosha Community Action Agency with the kitchen. I think that's great. I think there should be a move in some of these churches to bring some of the seniors together who know how to cook to teach some of us younger folks. I know how to make a souffle, but I know I'm unusual in that. There's a lot of people who don't. To really pass on some of that knowledge and some of those talents. So there's a lot of bigger applications here other than just the fee that you see on a piece of paper, and I think you really need to keep that in mind. Second thing that I'll say with regard to the smoking taxes, look, since the inception of this nation, there has been a conversation around sin taxes, whether it's prostitution, whether it's alcohol, whether it's smoking, whether it's marijuana, and that conversation continues today. All I can say is that you can feel free to weigh in on that debate at the appropriate time whenever that referendum should come up. So other than that, are there any other questions about this? Okay, so is there a motion to close debate, a motion to vote? How do you want to deal with this?
Call the question.
All right, it's been a motion to call the question by Supervisor Frederick. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Montemurro. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Question has been called. So it's on the floor for a vote.
I move to support it.
Motion made by Supervisor Montemurro. Is there a second? Second by Supervisor Johnson. All in
favor?
Roll call vote. Ms. Davis, if you could please call the roll.
Okay. Aaron Decker?
No.
Boyd Frederick?
Aye.
Angie Montemurro?
Aye.
Gabe Newdo?
Aye.
David Hallman?
Aye.
Anita Johnson?
Aye.
And Jacob Genther?
Aye.
Okay, motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, also, some of the questions I just sent you a link to the stats for our state tobacco program.
Thank you.
All right, agenda item number 6.
Committee, a resolution requesting to defund and leave unfilled the position of a public health nurse and fund an advanced nurse practitioner in the Division of Health. Been provided with, again, a summary of information to support this resolution. Over the last 5 years, I would say that I've recognized that the skill sets within a public health department are becoming increasingly more complex. Evidence-based research is being utilized to support programs. Data analysis is being compiled in order to reflect outcomes. It takes definitely additional skill sets in order to meet the mandated essential services within a public health department. I've listed here the advanced nurse practitioner position. It's unclassified. There are no county levy impact to this position. We're looking at an expansion of women's health services through grant funding. advanced nurse practitioner has increased comprehensive clinical skill set. They are also able to bill Medicaid services and through their direct client contact that the Medicaid is reimbursable. And that's a key feature for sustainability. They will be able to provide primary patient care services, and they're also certified as prescriptive authority. An advanced practice nurse can do routine physical exams, gynecological exams. They can assess for infections and disease processes. They will also offer counseling and referral for prompt early treatment. This will consist of office visits, writing prescriptions as needed, exams and immunizations are just to name a few. Right now in Kenosha County, we're experiencing a number of families that are either underinsured or underinsured. I've listed the amounts here reflectively that 36,000 Medicaid clients are in Kenosha County. Right now, the Kenosha Community Health Center, which is a federally qualified health center, is able to support 19,000 of the 36. They've increased their infrastructure from approximately 7,000 about 4 years ago to support 19,000. So they've been working on improving their infrastructure, but they're not at full capacity. Also, the local medical physicians do care for a low number of Medicaid clients, so there are a number that are left unattended. This would help to support that gap. Also, according to the 2011 Community Health Survey, that in Kenosha County, we lack a sufficient number of primary care providers to support our community, and the ratio of residents to these providers is 1,393 residents to one provider is current in Kenosha County. In Wisconsin, there are 744 to one provider is the average, and of course the national benchmark is 631 to one provider. The advanced nurse practitioner, as I mentioned, would be capable of data analysis and interpreting surveillance data, such as communicable disease and morbidity and mortality information, so that we can reach positive health outcomes in our community. They would be able to use evidence-based interventions and quality improvement measures in order to improve performance and sustainability within our programs to support vulnerable populations. With this particular project, we're looking to collaborate with Kenosha Racine Community Action Agency at the WIC location, which has over 5,000, nearly 6,000 clients, participants that they serve. We would also be able to further build community partnerships, and currently we are looking through our suicide prevention initiative to develop an adult death review, and through our maternal child health programs to develop a fetal infant mortality review team. Both of these are vitally important to our community. We need to understand death in order to understand how to live. Through these 2012 unintentional deaths to date, as of July 31st, you can see that we've had 30 toxicity deaths. We've had 9 motor vehicle accident deaths, 5 due to falls, and 4 due to drownings. This order of accidental deaths has been consistent over the last 3 years. Falls and drowning seems to go back and forth. And also the intentional suicides, we have seen 13 as of this year. And so it is important to develop these review teams, and you need additional skill sets to move to this higher level of partnerships. At our Kenosha Division of Health Clinic site, our nurse practitioner has seen through women's health clinic services 353 clients. 179 women have been enrolled in our Wisconsin Well Women program, and we've had 25 well contracts to date.
Supervisor Montemar.
Okay, I am the sole medical provider of indigent care at the Salvation Army Clinic, and have been for like 6 years. And the reason I had to open the Salvation Army Clinic was the wait to get into the Kenosha Community Health Clinic is way too long. You know, someone is new to the community, they need medications, and they call, and it's a 3-month wait. So the gap and the need is there. There absolutely is needed there. I've also fundraised to be able to help with the women's initiative through the health department, through the Kenosha
Cervical
Health Fund. Yes, United for a Cure, we made money. So these positions do help, and the need is there. The question I have is, right now, you have one nurse practitioner, that's it? Mm-hmm. So would this new nurse practitioner be working in the same area, same capacity, or are you looking at putting her...
a different site.
You are. So she would be set up, but she would also be doing some of the same activities that the other ones do.
Right. It's an expansion of women's health services.
And you in here say that this is... levy neutral, because even though she's getting $13 more an hour, because you have funding for her to do this because she'll be able to charge, correct?
Correct. In addition to the public health nurse being defunded,
right,
that wage being added,
yes,
to this position.
So whatever she sees during the day, she'd be making,
right,
her salary.
And then grant funding to support,
yeah,
the addition.
So there's absolutely no reason that she shouldn't be allowed in terms of a financial impact for us, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. We need her. Thank you.
Or him.
Supervisor Decker?
It's a nurse practitioner. Him, her, whatever. We do that.
The fourth bullet point is shocking, that primary care providers in Kenosha is twice the national benchmark.
I can tell you that.
That's shocking. Why do we know why that is?
That was in the Wisconsin Health Rankings for Kenosha County, so you can see that information, and it has been consistent over the last few years.
Is there a reason?
There are several.
But from our standpoint, you know, Kenosha has so many positive aspects, but honestly, it doesn't have that much to do here. Do you understand? Our community is lacking. And so it's hard to come here. We've been trying for years. And they come and they interview. There's a big animosity between some of the doctors in Racine and Kenosha. And basically, some of our assets just are not advertised enough. I'm telling you, through the years, I've had many physicians come, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they look around and feel funny and leave. It's the funniest thing ever. And we are that busy.
I believe I'm just shocked. Is Racine like that too, or are the counties around us, or are we an anomaly?
We're not an anomaly, and I have to. You can, on the Wisconsin Health Rankings, you can see all the counties, and you can specifically look at this particular data set. But to support what Dr. Montemuro is saying, another area that I'm looking at, and I would wholeheartedly support both with the county and the city, is improving Kenosha. So that we can have industry that moves here, manufacturers, tourism, and to have a healthy community is vital for people to come. We cannot have people that have no place to go if they're mentally ill and they're sleeping on the street. We cannot have poor air quality. We cannot have disease within this community, because people won't want to bring their children here. They will not want to stop here and raise a family if we don't have healthy communities to support that.
It's very hard to get them to stay.
Thank you. I just shocked me.
Anyone else?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's going to be more help.
Any other businesses authorized by law? I don't believe there is. Are there any committee member comments? Chair?
Thank you. Do we know when your budget meetings are?
Yes.
Can you remind me?
October.
I have it on my phone.
Just a second.
I'm going to pop.
I believe it's the 18th.
Yeah.
Of October.
This one, yeah. Do you mind if I keep?
Oh, okay. Is that the night that you all meet at the job center?
Yeah, 5:30.
Yes, 5:30. October 18th.
18th.
18th? Yeah, 5:30 at the job center. No comment. In the comments area.
Thank you.
Comments.
Thank you.
Supervisor Brager?
No.
Supervisor Decker?
I really appreciated being sent the RFP, and I would appreciate it for the future to be sent those too. That's all.
If she's requesting it, just send it out with the packet.
Yes.
To everybody.
I have two. One, we have been selected to go paperless as a pilot program.
Come on.
Understanding that not all committee members will necessarily partake in that fashion, paper copies will still be provided upon request.
Okay. I request that.
When does that begin?
Begin next meeting.
Jennifer's going to load a bike. That thing will end up.
The other thing is just a reminder that paper money may not grow on trees, but the cotton plant that it comes from does help. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Right. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Nunes, second by Supervisor Decker.
And the postage. I mean, all the postage and all the packets. Constantly.
Okay, I got Gabe and Angie wants paper. Is there anybody else that wants paper?
Nope.
Everybody else?
I ask if it's a large document, like, and we've had this problem with the land use where it's like a 50-page document. It's very slow to load, and if you could cut it up into a couple of separate documents if it's a very large document, because it's very slow to load on the computer or iPad and things like that.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
You need to update
separate
your computer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Thought you're talking about the hard copies for a second.
All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Good night.
I think there was discussion of, I'm not going to be around in October.
Ow.